when you were younger, you never really had a plan to be a conductor. So what happened?
Well, you know, when you're born into a family that where the business really is music, I wouldn't, you know, growing up wouldn't hear the word business. I'm just calling it that now. It was a joy, of course, to be surrounded by music, and for us it felt like this was just how life was experienced, with great songs, with melodies. Everybody around me was singing or playing an instrument. My hometown, Leipzig, the birthplace of many composers, and the workplace of many great composers, including through my town, including, of course, Johann Sebastian Bach, who served as the cantor of St. Thomas Church and wrote most of his cantatas there. So I grew up with this musical heritage of 300 years, and it was just something you were breathing in. And when you're surrounded by that, and you see what it takes to be a musician on the stage, I took lessons. I studied piano, studied violin. I was a member of the Gewandhaus Children's Choir, and I could never imagine that I would be a professional at the time. It was just something that I did for fun and for joy. And then when I came to the States at the age of 14, I started being interested in playing the trumpet. I was a trumpet player. I started composing. And then when it became time to make a decision about where I wanted to study at a university or undergrad, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but for sure I did not want to study music. And ironically, somebody in the cafeteria when I was a freshman asked me if I wanted to conduct a rehearsal of an opera called Dido and Aeneas by the great British Baroque composer Henry Purcell. And I declined, saying, well, my dad knows how to do that. I really don't. And I have no plans of doing too much music. This person was very persistent, and over a hot dog he asked me again, well, we don't have a conductor yet for this rehearsal that we need somebody for. Why don't you just do this rehearsal and I'll find somebody else for the performance? And so I said, okay, fine, I'll do it. And after that rehearsal I had so much fun. Yeah, and I wanted to get this feeling back of exploring this music that I didn't know, and there was something that just clicked with me. I just felt so alive and so much into not just the music but into the process of exploring music. And so in many ways I tried to push it away from me, and it kind of found me as something that I was drawn to.
Well, it sounds like you need to be grateful for that hot dog lunch, because that kind of started something way back when. Yeah. For you. Helped you to look at music from maybe a different paradigm or a different viewpoint, it sounds like.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially, you know, when you're in this community of people who are learning about the liberal arts, learning about, you know, things that you didn't have a chance to in high school or middle school, and you're exposed to people who come from all different parts of the world, and then they come together as an orchestra. In our case at Columbia, people who did not want to be musicians or professional musicians, and the motivation of them going, you know, leaving their lab or their scientific experiments or other things that had nothing to do with music, and then they came together. It was something that created a dialogue that to this day actually is something that I seek out. I want to find out what is important about the music that we get to make and we get to share with the audience that comes in with vastly different backgrounds. In some cases, people who've never been to a concert before, or to the concert hall. And the audiences, of course, are different everywhere you go. So for me, it's always great to find out what is the make of the community that this orchestra is in and that the orchestra is serving, so that the music becomes a tool for dialogue.
What drew you to this idea of being the music director for the Portland Symphony Orchestra?
Well, I had the chance to conduct the orchestra just a few years ago in a program that included Mozart's final symphony, the Jupiter. And I had a memorable time, even just for the few days that I was there, even though it was very cold, or maybe because it was very cold, it was a nice contrast between the cold outside and sort of the great warmth and feeling of intimacy that I felt in the hall, and also being in dialogue with musicians and other people in the city over a meal or over some music. So for me, that was great. And I also sensed that the organization of the entire orchestra, and then I include the people, of course, behind the scenes that don't play the instrument on stage, but off stage, if you will, that there was such a drive, a commitment, a vision of what this orchestra means to the city, the relationship it can create, and just the feeling of the sound in the auditorium, Merrill Auditorium, which is not just great to look at, but more importantly, perhaps, it sounds wonderful. You can do a wide variety of programs in there. In fact, this program, or the programs, I should say, that I get to conduct this season with the Portland Symphony are a big range, and they're also larger. They have a larger orchestra than what I was conducting my first outing.
Well, tell me a little bit about the concert that's coming up next week on the 15th.
The concert on the 15th, which features music by Wagner, Richard Wagner's Tannhäuser Overture, and Brahms' First Symphony, and also the First Piano Concerto by Franz Liszt, is, you know, Brahms' First Symphony is always such an incredible, momentous occasion, I feel, just being confronted with music, for me, that is so moving. You can't explain it. And that's, I guess, the best music is music that you can't put into words.